3, 2, 1. Welcome back to the Culture Distinct Podcast. Your boy DJ KO. I'm glad you guys tuned back into the show. It's a great show, great time coming. I'm glad you guys tuned into this great show. Before we get started, I'd like to give a big shout out to my sponsor, 605 Adult Beverages. Much love to you guys. I'm glad you guys sponsored the show. We got some more sponsors coming up. So we got Vista Belle Royale coming, champagne. That's going to be the new sponsor coming in for the next month. Also, I'd like to give a big shout out to my corporate partnerships over there at Red Core Universe. You might have seen us on Tubi or Roku. That's what we're doing over here. So we're growing slowly but surely. But the reason why we're growing because of you guys. You guys tune in. You guys subscribe. You guys continue to send me guests. You guys be in the DMs. Hit me up. I appreciate you guys for all the support and more to come. Much love to you guys. So, guys, I don't have a shirt on today. Normally, I have a shirt on to represent, you know, my, you know, women and men. Last month, it was Women's National Women's Month. This is going into the spring. We don't have nothing that we're representing, but I like to represent everything black. But I don't have nothing right now, so I'm keeping it blank. Shout out to the Pelicans. Shout out to the Saints. Y'all know what it is. Today, we got a special guest for you guys, man. Look, you've probably seen this individual in District 146. She's been in the seat for the last 4 to 5 years, if I'm not mistaken. 7 years. Okay, seven. My bad. Seven. Correct me. Correct me. For 7 years, you'll probably see she's an attorney. She's here in Houston. I'm going to say this because I'm from Louisiana. She's not a native, but a descendant of people from Louisiana. So I always got to give a shout out to people from Louisiana. You know what I'm saying? I'd like everybody to welcome to the show, Miss Shawn Theory.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
How you doing, ma'am?
I'm doing great.
You good?
I'm good.
How was your spring? How was your Easter?
I had a great Easter. I went to church. My daughter, I have an 11-year-old daughter named Claire. We did an Easter egg hunt. Actually, I think, yeah, we hung out.
Yeah, yeah.
Saw you over in the southeast side of my district.
I was in the hood.
In Crestmont.
I was in the hood.
Yeah, we had an Easter egg hunt with Rashad Cave. Shout out to him. He always does a beautiful event in District 146.
Yeah.
I made sure I showed up. I brought 146 because I represent the 146. 146 baskets to give out to the kids.
Oh, that's
so
dope.
We had a good time.
That's dope. That's dope. Yeah, we did have the introduction there. Shout out to Rashad for making that introduction. You know, community, I think community is one of the biggest things that a lot of us, we need to reinvest in that we don't, especially when we have these areas that's not as educated, not as funded, not as well knowledgeable in certain areas. I think we need to reinvest back into it. And we was there helping out, partnering with Rashad in the community. So Shawn, I want people that don't know you, right? Because I know a couple of people that's been in, you know, being in politics that they know you, but the ones that's new to Houston, because, you know, Houston is a big influx of people that's leaving the suburbs and coming into Sunnysides, coming into Third Wards. They're coming back into the places that we used to be called the hood, but they're no longer the hood. So who is Shawn Theory?
Well, thank you for the introduction. I am the state representative, Shawn Nicole Theory, from House District 146. And for those who are listening, what that really means is if you represent the 146, you talked about Sunnyside. It's a historically black community. Mm-hmm. It used to be called the Black Wall Street. And unfortunately now it has some of the highest crime in the nation. We want to fix that.
Yeah.
South Park, that's where I was born and raised.
Shout out.
South Park, that's what we call it. So that's the southeast side. South Union, Third Ward, where Beyonce was born and raised, the Trey.
Yeah.
So I actually live there now. I live one street behind the home that Beyonce grew up in. I can look in my backyard and see the house that she grew up in. And so I have lived in my district my whole life. Then there's a southwest side of 146. Mm-hmm. Fondren Southwest, Westbury. You know, I graduated from Westbury High School.
I'm familiar with that. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. So my mom was a teacher. So I'm the daughter of a teacher.
Okay.
She was the first black teacher to integrate Sharpstown High School, which is also 146. She came in with police protection, with dogs, all of that.
Wow.
And so I always heard these stories. And so people can, you know, sometimes say, how did you you know, how did you get into politics? How did you become a state rep?
Mm-hmm.
I never really envisioned. I'm an attorney. That's my day job, even though I do both. But I think the stories my parents told me about the civil rights struggle, my mom marched with Barbara Jordan.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, my mom's 83. And she went to Texas Southern University Law School. So I went there for law school. So for those listening, I'm an HU grad, Howard University.
All right.
Two HBCUs. And so I'm a black woman. I'm a mother. I have an 11-year-old daughter. I'm an attorney. And I've just been out here grinding and representing for my people.
Right.
And I'm the first black woman to ever hold the seat for District 146.
Oh, wow. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
For the seventh year.
Seventh year, yeah.
It's always a congratulatory. You know, you got to always congratulate that.
Yeah, it's something about breaking those glass ceilings, you know, kicking in doors. And, you know, as black women, that's what we do.
Absolutely.
But our crown is heavy.
Yes.
And I hope we get into that tonight.
Yeah, we're going to get into that. We're going to jump right into it, you know. Even though I know everybody that's not in politics, they know that politics is I'm not going to say a dirty game. It's a game of chess. You know, you got to be very strategic when it comes to politics. And first question I want to ask you, misconceptions of Sean. What are some things that you think your constituents might think about you that is not true?
Well, it's always hard to kind of push out misinformation about yourself. I think about Lauryn Hill. She talked about the miseducation, you know, of Lauryn Hill. There really, up until this election, there really wasn't that. Everybody knew I wasn't new to it. I was true to it.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knew that I was the black woman that rang the alarm, sounded the alarm about the crisis for black women dying in childbirth,
mm-hmm.
the maternal mortality crisis.
Yeah.
That was my big bill as a freshman. So I almost lost my life in childbirth.
Wow.
And because the doctors weren't listening. And Serena Williams almost lost her life in childbirth because the doctors weren't listening.
Mm-hmm.
So whether you are an educated black woman with health care or you are a low-income black woman on Medicaid, struggle all the same.
Yes.
Right? There's an implicit bias against us where we are not believed when we, you know, raise concerns or we present with symptoms. So there was that. And then I'm the same black woman that came out and started fighting for the elderly, protecting the elderly from financial exploitation, fighting for public schools. I'm a public school kid.
Okay.
Never went to private school. But recently, the politics of the politics that you're talking about, it was new to me. I woke up and I had folks cropping my picture, put me with Governor Abbott, calling me a Republican. So those are the kind of things I'm dealing with right now. I've been a Democrat my whole life. But I will disagree with you on this. It is dirty. It mm-hmm. is a dirty game. And you got to go through the mud in this, just like anything else. It's no different than gangbangers and everybody else out there. You really got to fight for your right to be. And so I want people to know that I'm the same old Shawnee T, same Sean Theory, standing for the people. I took a vote that, you know, the Democrat Party is a complex institution.
Mm-hmm.
You got white Democrats. You got black Democrats.
Yes.
You got Latino Democrats, right? And so we're the party of the big tent. But all of our issues not always the same.
Correct.
All of our values are not always the same. And so I represent a district that's 84% black and brown.
Okay.
So
My
job is to speak for those people.
So let's clear the air. Can we clear the air?
Yes, sir.
So just to be direct, and so I'm going to ask you a direct question. I just want you to answer it direct. Is Sean Theory a Democrat or Republican?
I've been a Democrat all my life. I've never voted Republican. As we say in 146, I got receipts. Right?
Yes.
Never in my life, not even related to any Republicans. It's interesting that when you stand up on the side of justice, or righteousness, and in this instance, I will say this, I'm a Christian.
Okay.
Unapologetically that. I was christened as a Catholic, actually. St. Mary's in Third Ward. St. Okay. Mary of the Purification. Everybody knows. Beyonce went to that school,
that place
too.
It's still there, ain't it? That
it's still there. My daughter got made her first communion there. My mom converted to being a Baptist when I was 12. Mm-hmm. So I got baptized in the Baptist church at Wheeler Avenue Baptist Church in Third Ward, which I'm still a member. And so, you know, I just give that as context that there always has to be some kind of moral compass that everyone follows, whatever it may be. And I'm a member of the Texas Legislative Black Caucus. There's, I believe, 16 black members in the Texas House.
Yeah.
Texas House of Representatives. Most of us are church-going people, God-fearing people. And so there's that. But I don't think that has anything to do with being Republican.
Got you.
And so I took a vote that you know, I consider myself a champion for children on all levels. I've passed bills to protect children from human trafficking.
Okay.
I have a bill right now, the first one in the state of Texas, to protect children that are in foster care facilities, juvenile detention facilities, residential treatment facilities for drug addiction, mm-hmm. from being targeted from predators who want to sexually exploit these kids because they know they don't have parents. You know?
So let me ask you this, before we go into that. Why is that so important, community and kids? Why is that something that you focus on and that's important for you? Because there's a lot of things that you can focus on, especially as a black woman, you know, just having rights in general. But kids, community, it's two things that I heard you speak about and what you're passionate in. Why is that such a big thing for you?
You know, when I decided to run for this and make the commitment, I always said I wanted to be a voice for the voiceless. And the most vulnerable in our society are children.
Yes.
And those in our community that don't always have access, elderly. You know, and so those are my passions. That's where I get excited. Mm-hmm. That's where if you mess with them, you mess with me. You know, it's natural for me. And so that's really how that came about. If you go over to my district office, it's on the second floor of the Sunnyside Multipurpose Center. Downstairs, all the seniors are eating breakfast, eating lunch, line dancing. And I love to see them. You know, they come up and they're like, hey, Rep, what's going on? And I just want to take care of those people. I want to help them fight gentrification.
Yeah.
You know, they're losing their homes, historically black neighborhoods, because developers come in and now their property taxes are too high.
Absolutely.
But I did something about that because I'm the first black woman to be vice chair of the Ways and Means Committee, which means I can lower property taxes.
Oh, you need to lower my property taxes.
I did. I just did. Everybody in the state of Texas, now you have a $100,000 homestead exemption.
Oh, really?
Yes. So you're going to see a change in that. And okay. I'm the only black member in Houston, Harris County, whose name is on that bill.
Mm.
And so those are the kind of things. But you have to reach across the aisles. So I will let people know that.
Yeah.
Just like Barbara Jordan. She was an icon of mine, a hero of mine. My mom marched with her. She told me about her when I was 6 years old. And she understood that. That's why I named 288 Highway after her. Only highway in the country named after Barbara Jordan. I passed that law, too.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And so there's only 64 Democrats in the House of Representatives. There are 150 members, which means you need 76 votes to pass a law, which means every Democrat needs at least 12 Republicans to come our way.
To vote.
And truth be told, 12 ain't going to cut it.
You need more.
Yeah, you got to go above the minimum baseline, right? Which means if there was ever a law passed, a Republican had to work with you. They had to vote for you.
Right.
And so I kind of think, to answer your question, because I've been effective at reaching across the aisle and bringing home the bacon to my people, you know, people come back and be like, oh, she's working with Republicans. What you sent us there for? Mm-hmm. Like, I had to lower property taxes for these seniors. I wanted to pass health care for black mothers.
Yeah.
You know, did you know that black mothers, low-income women, not just black, low-income women were getting kicked off of Medicaid 60 days after having a baby?
Wow.
And I finally, after four sessions, was able to pass the bill to push that from 60 days to 12 months. And so the Biden-Harris administration just signed that application. It took me working with Republicans over and over, year after year, to get them to appreciate and understand where we were coming from.
I want to ask you that. I want to see, that's the question I want to ask about the bipartisan understanding of working with individuals. Because now, I'm a person, I'm not in politics, but I'm connected to a lot of politicians. I'm a donor, private donor, but I'm not a politician. But when it comes to bipartisanism, I know it's money. It's funded most of the times where, you know, things get done. How does a person in your situation, how do you get things done being a Democrat and still got to get the extra votes that you need to be, you know, from the Republicans to get something passed? How does that take place?
Well, so the way it takes place when you're in the legislature in Texas, I can't speak on other states. So we meet every other year, every odd number year from January to May. So we only have 180 days to get it done. And then we don't even look at each other again to the next odd number year.
Wow.
So 2017, 2019, 2021, 2023, 2025, for 5 months, you got to pass every law in the state of Texas in that time.
Yep.
No money can be accepted at all when you're in the legislature, when you're in session. So the money doesn't really play a role. It takes, you know, dedication, discipline, intelligence, you know, to sit down with people and say, let me show you something. Let me tell you what this means. And so when I start talking about to Republicans about this maternal mortality issue, that black women were dying at 3 times the rate of all women in childbirth.
Okay.
I was a freshman and they had been talking about that. But I was probably being a lawyer, I was like, why aren't they hearing that? So I came to them because they were like, oh, they don't care because the women are black. I said, I don't know. I don't know if that's it.
Yeah.
Let me go ask them some questions. So I started walking and I said, you're pro-life, right? Now I'm pro-choice, but they're pro-life. And they said, yeah. I said, well, don't you want, these are women that are choosing life. You can't have a healthy baby without a healthy mom. You want these women to die. You want them, no woman should have to, who chooses life, should do so in exchange for her own.
Correct.
And they were like, I agree. As quickly as you said that, they said, correct. And I said, well, let's get some health care for these moms that want to have babies. They were like, sound good to me, Sean. Like, it was that quick.
Oh,
right?
Right.
And so
right.
I start working the floor and doing it. Now it's their issue. That's the crazy part, right? Now they're filing the bills for this.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it just takes sitting down, having a conversation, putting people over politics.
Okay.
It's much easier, though.
Is that possible?
I've done it.
Okay.
And I'm not the only one.
Okay.
I'm not the only one. It's not easy. You have to kind of, I use a lot of sports analogies. My dad and my brother watch sports every weekend in the house. I had to learn basketball, football, all of that. And I didn't play, but I understood the game.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to decide, it takes all players on the team, but who are you? Do you score? Do you go to basket? Are you the hard, floppy foul player?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
you Dennis Rodman, you Kobe. Who are you? Michael, you know?
I don't know about Michael. You're not Michael. No.
So you Shaq, you LeBron. And so I know my strengths. I know my weaknesses. So I'm not, so in the legislature, people don't know this. We have a front mic and we have a back mic.
Okay.
The back mic is where you go to attack someone else's bill and call them out. And sometimes it gets you on TV and all that. The front mic is where you go to present what you have to say about your legislation.
Okay.
And why they should support you. I've been on both, but I'm on the front mic more than I'm on the back mic.
Okay.
And so when I'm on the front back mic, I'm scoring. I'm in the end zone.
Yeah.
Boom, boom, boom. Never been voted down on the House floor ever. That's when I'm like, bringing it to the people, bringing it to the people. When I get on that back mic, like they say, you got to choose wisely.
Yeah.
When I get there, the floor gets real quiet because they're like, why is she on the back mic?
Yeah.
That's not her personality. That's not her style. So when I do that, you know, I can command that respect too.
So let me ask you this. How many, when it comes to, I know you said that you had the opportunity to pass a couple of bills, or partner with some constituents to pass a couple of bills. What are some bills recently that has been questioned that you're trying to pass that you believe wholeheartedly in that you're having a hard time or people are misconceiving the understanding of it?
Well, I'll say this before I get into the ones I'm trying to pass, because I've passed probably over 75 in my career.
Okay.
From protecting kids from e-cigarettes to reducing food insecurity to the healthcare I talked about to lowering property taxes. But what I did this year, and I think that would kind of, I never was a Twitter person, right? Mm-hmm. X, as they call it.
Yeah, X.
And now there's a letter that I wrote, a paper I wrote that has 2.3 million views.
Yeah.
I talked about being a champion for children. This session, we were presented with a bill that wanted to figure out what was the appropriate age of consent for a child to consent to a life-altering surgery to change their sex.
Sex change.
That's right. It. They call it transgender. Whether a 10-year-old or 11-year-old can cut off their breasts or their genitals, mm-hmm. what's the age? And so the bill that was before us said, you know, 18 is the age.
Okay, legal age to 18. Smoke cigarette, well, buy cigarettes.
Actually, no. Guess what the age is in Texas?
Oh, it's 21 now?
21.
Okay.
Democrats did that.
Okay.
We raised the age to 21. E-vape, 21.
Okay.
Work in a sexually oriented business like strip club, 21.
21, okay.
18, can't even get a tattoo unless you're 18. That's even with parental consent.
Wow.
So if your mom takes you at 17 to go try to get a tattoo, you can't get it. It's 18, okay? So this bill set it for 18 before you could cut off your, I mean, can we talk freely here?
Yeah, go ahead.
Before you can cut off your penis.
Okay.
Before you can cut off your breasts. Before you can stitch up your vagina, mm-hmm. okay? And so I'm like, well, that's consistent with the policy and the principles we've always stood on. So I voted for that. It became political to where I'm a Democrat, like we said, but other Democrats were like, Sean, maybe we should vote no.
Okay.
Not that they wanted higher, but we just don't want any age.
Oh, wow.
Meaning 10.
Yeah, it could be anything.
9.
But why don't people want to touch the subject? I understand. All right, so from the outside looking at, I understand that transgender, LGBTQIA plus RXYZ, MB, whatever. I understand it's a sensitive subject for certain people. But the thing is, morally, a kid that's 12, 13, 14, 15, their mind is not even.
Well, that's right. Processed. And so this had nothing in my mind to do with LGBTQIA.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want any child making that decision.
Right.
Right. We talk about science as Democrats. There's a bill we've tried to pass every session that wants to raise the age for criminal culpability from 17 to 18. Because guess what? Democrats say that the frontal lobe of the brain, mm-hmm. that's the part of the brain that regulates like sound decision making,
mm-hmm.
is not fully reason.
Yeah.
It's not fully developed actually until you're 24.
Right.
But nobody gonna go with that, right? So we're like 18. Suddenly, we decided none of that science matters when it comes to this one issue, and that a child as young as 12 or 10 can make that reasonable decision, make that decision,
yeah.
for the rest of their life. And so there was a lot of pressure, a lot of politics around it. And so I think the LGBTQI community, which I had previously received an Equality Award, Champion Award, start really lobbying and pushing and said, we don't agree with that bill because a Republican filed it. And therefore, we're going to be against it. We just want these kids to not just be able to cut off their body parts, but to take cross-sex hormones.
Yeah.
Lupron. I don't know if people know what Lupron is.
Isn't that an antidepressant, something like that?
No, it's not. It's actually a chemical castration drug.
Oh, wow.
It's
okay.
A drug we give
the inmates.
Child rapists.
Okay, yeah, I got you.
Sex offenders,
yeah.
To lower that. So I talked about, I'm going to be frank with you, I talked about being, you know, going to HBCUs, being a black woman, black mother. I can't, in my good conscience, just because I'm in politics and it's politically expedient, vote to give a black male, a black boy, 14, 15 years old, a drug that I know that's going to chemically castrate him.
Correct.
You know the history behind that, right?
Correct. Slavery. Come on. Slavery, it was physically doing it, but, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now you want me to sanction that. I don't, that same drug that's given to black girls to stop them from having a menstrual cycle, that's sterilization.
Correct.
So if you add in sterilization of a black girl, castration of a black male, what's that, black genocide?
Basically.
We're talking about genocide in Gaza, which is real. But what about the genocide? Genocide in the Israelis and Gaza. What about genocide?
In your backyard.
Right here.
Yeah.
And so I stood up, you know, hand before God and said, no, 18. And I never in a million years knew I was going to, the day I did it, that was May 13th, I think this time last year.
Yeah.
Well, almost in May. Out of every day of my life since then. Tried to make a living hell.
Wow, really? Because you made a decision that morally it was right to you. But
and my constituents, they call me. Okay. Like, Rep, no, you got to stand. You got to stand.
But did you have individuals stand with you?
Only four.
Okay, see, that's the part. See, that's this part. So when we talked about politics was a dirty game earlier, that's the part where, you know, you guys are together as a team. And then at the same time, when it comes down to the making decisions that's going to help the community, who really going to stand? For instance, like you said, the back mic and that front mic. That back mic, everybody say, man, I'm with you. That front mic, they be like, hold on, my brother.
Yeah, I had been researching the issue for 2-3 years. Mm-hmm. I knew, I learned, and it's the science is there, that if you give a girl too much testosterone or a woman, it puts us on the pathway for diabetes.
Wow.
Talk about PCOS, that's polycystic ovarian syndrome. It translates to insulin resistance, which is diabetes. Why would I give a black girl testosterone knowing that she's going to be, who has the highest rate of diabetes in this country?
In terms of people, black.
Which race?
Black.
But I'm supposed to vote. Give a black girl testosterone.
Yeah.
You give a black male too much estrogen. The science already shows it puts you increased risk of pulmonary embolism, stroke, heart attack. I'm supposed to vote for that. And so my colleagues, all respect, but they came to me and they were like, Sean, we get it. We got it. I'm like, we black, y'all. Let's just go stand up there together.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, you already know what's going to happen. They're going to put people in our race against us. They're going to come for us. So flat out told me to my face, hold your nose.
Okay.
Pinch your nose. Hold your nose. Vote with us. Act like you're for it because it's not. They felt like the juice wasn't worth the squeeze.
Yeah.
And my thing was, it's kids, y'all. At some point, we got to draw the line somewhere. These are children.
Right.
And so I got up there by myself. And I spoke for 12 minutes flat on the House floor. You could have heard a pin drop.
Wow.
And I read my paper, which was full of research. And ever since then, life has changed.
Well, I'm going to give you a hand clap for that. Because, you know, for me, this is me. You know, I started looking in because I make things personal, right? So that same argument that you made on the House floor, I will point to the person who has kids, little kids. Would you allow your son or your daughter do so? And then they think about it, it's like, well, I don't know.
Well, it's no coming back.
At all.
And here's the deal. I didn't just do it in a vacuum. There's a group of adults now and even some kids called detransitioners.
Okay.
Who did this.
And they're trying to
they reversed it.
Right.
So they transitioned and now they're detransitioning. And they have voices too. They're part of the LGBTQI community too.
Yeah.
How do we pick and choose who, you know, who's worth listening to? And I had a young lady come to my office in tears, and she raised her shirt up. Mm-hmm. And she showed me the scar from here to here.
Wow.
And she said, Rep Theory, I got a double mastectomy and a full hysterectomy.
Mm.
She's 24.
Wow.
And she said, I now am in menopause, and I have the biological profile of like a 70-year-old woman based on all the profiles. She has osteoporosis.
At 24. Wow.
Brittle bones. And so she hugged me and she said, I want to thank you. She said, although the bill doesn't help me, at least you stood and you spoke to help another child.
Yes.
Then I met a young man, Abel. He came. He's a man now presenting. He's a biological male. He's a biological male now. He had actually transitioned to a full female, and he had breasts on the top. He never got the bottom surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And he came to me and he said, you know, Rep Theory, I started this when I was like 16. His parents were immigrants. And he said, I was very lonely. My mother worked all the time. My dad worked. And I got on YouTube. He did say I was effeminate. I was a feminine child.
Okay.
And he said, I was love bombed. And I just thought this was what I wanted. So he did it. He changed his mind. And he said he was, all the friends he made, they put him out. Nobody talks to him anymore. And he's had a real hard time,
mm-hmm.
and was so bizarre. People don't know this. So I hugged him. He came to my office. I said, well, Abel, honey, you deserve to be happy. Because he said, nobody's ever going to love me. I don't have a sex life anymore because he has me problems. I said, well, that's okay. I said, are you just gay? Because this isn't about gay or straight.
Right, nah.
He burst into tears. He said, I'm not even gay. He said, I'm not even gay.
Wow.
I just.
Exists.
You know? Yeah, but he never was, is what he's saying. I just did this. Now, some people are. Then I've had, you know, gay people come up to me. I met a man recently, about 4 weeks ago. He came up to me in a park, a Caucasian guy. And I was like, oh, how's this going to go? And he said, I want to thank you, Rep Theory.
Okay.
I'm a gay man. I'm married to a man. And we've adopted kids. And I agree, our kids need to be 18. And I was like, wow, you do? He said, absolutely. He said, but I'm bullied, too. I'm afraid to speak out. He said, I'll give you my phone number. And he said, you've encouraged me. He said, you really need me to go somewhere with you and prove that mm-hmm. this is not a monolithic group. Everybody has voices and opinions on this. And
so let me ask you this.
He said his kids believe in the Easter Bunny.
Okay.
They believe there's a real Easter Bunny, right?
Okay.
I asked a woman who came to the house floor. She told me she was certain her son knew about this. He was 8. She told me, I know for a fact, Rep Theory, he is aware. He knows he's a girl. He knows he was born in the wrong body. He knows he was born in the wrong body. I said, okay, ma'am, let me ask you one question. Does your son believe in Santa Claus? And she just looked at me. I said, your son believes there's a fat white man with a white beard that rides on a sleigh in the sky
mm-hmm.
with a bunch of deer that fly, and he slides down everybody's chimney at the same time all around the world
right.
and gives everybody toys at the same time. He lives in a North Pole. It's so cold, nobody could live. And he's got elves cobbling toys all night.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he believes.
Right.
That's what you're telling me? He knows that he's so sure? Come on.
So let me ask you this. Because I don't want to go down that rabbit hole because we could talk about that all day. And, you know, people have different opinions about it. I want to know solutions. What are some solutions that, as a community, as a politician, as a state representative, how can we resolve certain misunderstandings of this topic?
I think what we're doing tonight makes a difference. I'll tell you this. As much as I stood up and people came to me and said it was courageous, and a lady came and prayed for me, she's like, oh, you were born for such a time as this. I'll tell you the mistake I made. It's not that I spoke up. It's when it came down to the real politics, I wanted to talk about the other issues, right?
Okay.
So I in some ways, I ran from it, you know, because I didn't want to run on it. But it's too much misunderstanding, and now people are telling me knowledge is power.
Absolutely.
And so they said, Rep Theory, why didn't you come back and explain what it is and tell people? Why are we so afraid? But I was afraid that I didn't want to offend, and I knew the Democrat Party was for it. So I was like, I'm a Democrat, and maybe if I toed a line, we could talk about other things.
Mm-hmm.
But to go back to your very first question, now I'm in a runoff and I'm fighting for my life and people are calling me names and saying things that aren't true and trying to take my seat when I've done a very good job.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about community. I gave away 10,000 masks during the COVID pandemic when they weren't available. I risked my life passing out those masks.
Yeah.
You know, backpacks, helping the elderly, getting people their unemployment benefits during COVID. And so I enjoy that. And all the bills I've passed, like I said, voted on 8,000. And now this one issue has caused this kind of cancel culture. And so, you know, I think the way to do it, so just so you know, the bill passed. So in the state of Texas now, you do have to be 18.
Okay. Then,
but yeah. I didn't make it pass. It was going to pass.
Right.
Right? My vote wasn't even a game changer, which is also why I'm so surprised that mm-hmm. I would get these kind of attacks. I wasn't like the one person that made it happen. For those that were against it, it was going to happen whether I did or not. It wasn't an act of betrayal. It was an act to say, let's set a minimum baseline, a standard for children. You know, let's protect our kids. And we, you know, if you're an adult and that's what you want to do.
But do you think it's real? Because, you know, we're in a social media age and people troll people just because. It could be bots trolling you. They're not even real.
Well, there's that. But I know it's real that I have an opponent. You know, I have people who have endorsed against me.
Yeah, and I stand that side too.
I have people putting out mailers with my face on it that's not real, knocking on people's doors, you know, trying to, a woman that's homegrown in the community.
Right.
Two HBCUs, a black woman, you know, and it doesn't matter that a black woman is running against you. You know, all skin folk ain't kin folk. As we say.
All right.
You heard that?
I got you.
Come on, you're from Louisiana.
So let me ask you this before we get out of here. What do people need to know that they never seen, that the side that they never seen of Rep Theory?
You brought it out tonight. I'm the real deal.
Okay.
We were talking about boxing earlier off camera. Mm-hmm. Holyfield, real deal.
Real deal.
I represent the 146. It's 84% black and brown community. I'm always staying 10 toes down for my people. I support my Anglo members of the community. I grew up over there too,
mm-hmm.
right? Many of them agree with me too.
Yeah.
But if you put out misinformation about people, you know, my mom told me, she's 83. She said, well, baby, you know the lie gonna always spread faster than the truth.
Absolutely.
But my dad told me this. I lost my father 3 years ago, from Opelousas. And he asked me to make a commitment to him. And he said it just like this. He said, baby, God knows that he is so proud of you to be a state rep.
Mm-hmm.
Promise me one thing. He said, and this is what I want people to know about me. He said it just like this. Don't ever let the power and the prestige of the position cause you to sell your soul. And I didn't.
Yeah.
And I will not.
That's good advice.
And so whatever it's going to be, going to be.
That's right.
I'm fighting for my seat. I'm out there. I want people to support me. I'm in a runoff. Everybody's like, oh, she got mostly the black vote. Black people not going to come back out for her. You know, I don't think that's true. Knowledge is power. We got to educate our people.
Absolutely.
And so I'm going to keep pushing and grinding. At the end, God's going to have the final say. And, you know, I pray about it. I pray for my peace, pray for my strength. I don't sleep good all the time. I pray for be able to sleep at night. And in the end, I say, you know, this life will soon pass. Only what we do for God will last.
Absolutely.
And I'm not trying to bring religion into politics. It's just what I'm trying to say is there is a basic level of knowing that a child will be a child. And that's the beauty of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't burden them with these difficult things. You know, don't put that pressure on a child.
Right.
Give them time, love them. Let them, if they want to wear a certain kind of clothing, that you're a parent, let them do that.
Right.
But the same way, and I'll end with this, because some people say, what's the parent's decision? Rep Theory, parents get to decide. Not really. Do you get to decide whether or not your child wear a seatbelt?
No.
You don't get a ticket, right?
Absolutely.
Can you go in the house tomorrow and cut off your child's foot?
No.
A healthy foot?
No.
If my daughter want to cut her hand off tomorrow,
no.
Can I cut her hand off?
Mm-mm.
I cannot.
Right.
Even as her parent. But for some reason, people want me to have the authority to cut off her vagina.
Right.
I can't cut that off no more than I can cut off her hand.
It's logical. It's logical
sense.
And so
I don't make decisions of which body part it is. If you don't have cancer, I don't have the right to cut off my daughter's breast. That's her choice.
Correct.
When she's able to make that decision.
That's right.
Yeah, I don't cut off her foot. I'm not cutting off her hand. I'm not doing any of that. And so that's what I want people to know. That's what's going on in this country. That was the only bill I was presented with. We weren't talking about nothing else.
Okay.
So I stood, and as we say, what's the phrase now? Stand on business. But, you know, a lot of people tell me I shouldn't have because they know the problems that have resulted and, you know, what it's put me through. But you don't stand for something when they say you fall for anything.
That's right. You gotta stand for something, because if you don't, you're going to be like, how the old people say, you're going to be out there like a ship without a sail.
That's right.
Tossed to and fro, right?
To your point, yeah. I told a young lady the other day, we were talking, and I said, I kind of feel like a little leaf blowing in the wind. And she was only 19, and she kept, because she was telling me, you're a role model to me. And she hugged me, and she said, Miss Theory, don't ever say that. I said, why? She said, you're not a leaf blowing in the wind. She said, you're a tree.
Mm-hmm.
She said, you're standing. You got roots. She said, you're not moving. You're unshakable.
Yeah.
And she said, please don't fold. And she was only 19.
There you go. That was God speaking through that woman. See that? We're going to have to get out of here on that. So, look, before we get out of here, I need your information. How can they find you? How can they donate to your campaign? How can they volunteer with your campaign?
Yeah.
Stuff like that. And what areas are you going to be in terms of?
All right. I need all that. Thank you. So I'm on Facebook with just my government name, Shawn Theory, S-H-A-W-N-T, like terrific, H-I-E-R-R-Y. And then if you go on Instagram, I'm Rep Theory 146. I think that's the same on X, Twitter, formerly Twitter. And if you want to donate, which is great, you can go to, it sounds funny, it's called Give Butter, givebutter.com, Shawn okay. Theory. And also my website is runningwiththeory.com. I chose that because I want people to run with me for the victory. We're running all the way.
There you go.
You know, we are not going to get weary in well-doing. So it's runningwiththeory.com. And so y'all know where to find me. And I'm always available.
There it is. Guys, look, we got to end on that one. So, look, make sure you guys go ahead showing up with Run With Theory.
Running.
Running With Theory, right? Make sure the campaign. So, when is the second?
Yes, that's the real million-dollar question. So, everybody, I'm in Run With Theory for the runoff. May 20th through May 24th in Houston, House District 146 is early vote.
Okay.
May 28th is Election Day. Don't wait till Election Day. It's the day after Memorial Day. I don't want y'all to be all at the beach and eating crawfish and too tired to come out here and click that button for Miss Theory. So May 20th and May 24th is early vote. And the beautiful thing in Harris County, you can vote at any location.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to say, well, where can I vote? Anywhere there's a voting poll.
Yeah. Okay. There it is. Look, you guys got the information. Look, and I expect you guys to turn out. And look, you guys know how to go to the hair salon. You guys, I shouldn't say that.
That's all right.
That's a woman's thing. You guys know how to go to the mall. Just say that. That's universal, right?
Barbershop.
You got hair salon. That's okay. More universal, right? You guys can go to the hair salon and know how to, whenever you need your hair done and get that done, make sure a person that's going to fight for you, fight for the community, for the right thing. And as you heard today, the information that she was given, that made logical sense. It made logical sense to me. If you have questions for her, she gave you the information how to find her. Guys, this is me, DJ KO. I'm glad you guys tuned in to the show. Make sure you tell a friend what we got going on over here. We're getting bigger and better and better and better and bigger. Hey, look, y'all gonna need the CIA and the FBI to, fight me off, you know what I'm saying? So, but I'm glad you came up here, Shawn. One more time, give your information.
Thank
How
you.
Can they find you?
Shawn Theory on Facebook, Rep Theory, T-H-I before E-R-R-Y, Rep Theory 146 on Instagram, same on Twitter, runningwiththeory.com is the website, givebutter.com/Shawn Theory. That's how you can drop a little, $14, $40, $46, it doesn't matter. I'm grateful. I stay in a spirit of gratitude. And on that note, I want to express my gratitude for you. Thank you so much for having me here. One love.
One love. That's the word for the day. We're going to end that with one love. Appreciate you guys. Love you guys. And you can't do nothing about it. Peace out.